Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda finds Lord Krishna, text number 5. Tam Ankam Arudam Apayat Stanam Sneha Snutam Sa Smitam Ikshati Mukham Atriptam Utrija Javena Sa Yayao Utsichamane Payasi Tu Asrite Tam Ankam Aru Arudam apayat stanam Sneha snudam sa smitam ikshati mukam Atriptam utrija javena sayav Utsichamane payasi twadrishyate Tam ankam arudam apayat stanam Sneha snutam sa smitam ikshitam mukam Atriptam utrija javena sayav Usichamane payasi dvadrishyate Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. Purport, everything in the household affairs of Mother Yashoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yashoda, when she saw that the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately. Thus, she left her son, who then became very angry, not having been fully satisfied with drinking the milk of her breast. Sometimes, one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yashoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and other things later. The proper intuition to do by which to do this is given by Krishna. Teshaṁ sadadam yukdānam bhajantam pritipurvakam didāmi buddhiyogam tam yena mam upayanti te. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of absolute truth. Tam ankam arudam apapayat stanam snehasnutam sasmitam ikshati mukam atriptam utsrija javena sayav utsichamane payasi twadrishyate. Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap. She began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. When she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. Although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Kauravani Bhajarane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Siddharane. Here a principle of Krishna consciousness is explained. Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam Vajantam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhiyogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. That Krishna, to his devotee, he gives intelligence, special intelligence, by which one knows what Krishna wants. There are two parts to devotional service. One part is wanting to do something to please Krishna in devotion, and the other is having the intelligence to know what will please Krishna. This is anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma diravridam anukulvena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. The devotional service has certain characteristics. For instance, one time in New Vrindavan, one devotee, he asked Srila Prabhupada, the Christians say that they speak to God. And Prabhupada said, well, what is our response? And the devotee said, well, something. He didn't quite know what the verse was. So Prabhupada said, Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam Bhajantam Pritipurvakam. That Krishna, he doesn't speak to everyone. Just like the king or the president, you just can't call him up on the telephone. You know, hi, how you doing, you know. Want to come over today and, you know, we have a new ITV video. Would you like to watch? No, if he's an important person, then it's not possible just to call him up on the telephone. He doesn't speak to everyone. That he only speaks to certain persons. And similarly, Krishna, he doesn't speak to everyone. He speaks to persons with certain qualifications. Not that anyone on the street, they say, yes, I accepted Jesus Christ and he's talking to me. I already had a long conversation with him today. No, God doesn't speak to everyone. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship him with love. So constant devotion means that one has to do something authorized. And that takes quite a bit of intelligence, what Krishna wants and what Krishna doesn't want. It's not that I can offer Krishna, you know, what I like, and therefore Krishna has to accept, because at least I have the goodness to offer him what I want. In the beginning, for instance, when I used to worship Lord Jagannath in San Francisco, then the hippies used to come by and offer their boots, offer their fur coat, offer their potato chips, and put it before Lord Jagannath. Jai Jagadisha Hari. Because they heard that whatever they have, they should offer to Lord Jagannath. So that's not a bad principle, but I don't think Lord Jagannath accepted their boots. Although the principle of offering to Krishna is there, but what to offer to Krishna, that also has to be there, and that has to come down that one needs some knowledge for that. Therefore, Krishna Bhagavad Gita explains, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakta Priyachati. He doesn't say, offer me anything with love and devotion, and then I accept it. No, he says a leaf, a fruit, a flower, some water, then I'll accept it. He makes it clear what he wants. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport, vegetarian dishes, etc., milk products, they can be offered to Krishna, and if they're offered with love and devotion, then Krishna will accept them. In exchange of love and affection with the devotee. The idea is not that now Krishna has accepted it, and now I can enjoy. I got the good housekeeping seal of approval on the food, and now I can enjoy. Now, the idea is to actually want to please Krishna. That's why Krishna will accept it, because there's a genuine desire on the part of the devotee to try and please him. And then in the exchange of love and devotion and affection, then the food becomes spiritualized. Not only the food becomes spiritualized, but everything, including the devotee, becomes spiritualized. And what is the symptom that everything becomes spiritualized? According to Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmahaivir, Brahmagno Brahmahutam, Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. That a person is sure to reach the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and the things which are offered are of the same spiritual nature. So, how do you know that Krishna has accepted the food? What is the proof? There's a little note on it, thanks, you know. A little less salt the next time. What is the symptom of the fact that Krishna has accepted the food? Is that one's consciousness becomes spiritualized. When it becomes Krishna conscious, he sees everything, the food, the offering, Krishna, everything becomes none different from Krishna. Because one's consciousness becomes purified by complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. So for the spontaneous devotee here, Mother Jasoda, everything, as it mentions here in the household, everything was meant to please Krishna, and therefore it was Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, because everything was simply seen in relation to Krishna. Even here in the material world, we see everything in relation to our sense gratification. Prabhupada used to point out, if you walk down on the street and you see some shoes flying on the street, then people, you know, try and walk around them. But if you see the shoes of your little child, then your heart melts, you pick up the little shoes and pray to them. And then so, because we factually, whether we're conscious of it or not, we see things in relationship to something. Everything we see has a relationship based upon our memory. We see not things as they are, we see through our memories in the material world. And that memory has to do with how I've interacted with that person in the past. And generally, interaction with persons has to do with whether this person gave me something in the past or didn't give me something in the past. Whether they took something away. So if they gave me something in the past for my sense gratification, then I feel spontaneous happiness when I see them. And if they tried to take my sense gratification away, then I feel spontaneous distress when I see them. So everything is seen in the material world in relationship to whether or not it was pleasing to my sense gratification or was distressful or impeded my sense gratification. But in Krishna's pastimes, Mother Jasoda, all the cowherd boys, everything is utilized for Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, there is no material conception in their activities, in their lives, in their understanding of things. Their only conception is Krishna and how to please Krishna. So this is called the Radhatmika devotees, but they show us the platform of spontaneous love for Krishna. It is not a question, as Prabhupada says, of idle speculation or some material talents that we may have. It has nothing to do with that. It's simply a service attitude of wanting to utilize everything to please Krishna. Then Krishna says, Didami, Buddhi Yogam Tam. Then I tell the devotee what I want. It's not that you have to write letter. It's so confusing, so bewildering that the devotee has to write to Krishna a letter. Call him up on telephone, you know, we're confused, Krishna, what you really want. Where is Krishna? Sarvatra pani param tat sarvato shishara mukam sarvato shutimalo, okay? Sarvatra sarvatishtati. And Krishna is everywhere. Everywhere, his hands and legs, his eyes and faces, and he hears everything. In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything. Sarvendriya gunavasam sarvendriya vivarditam. Asaktam sarvabhrichchaiva nirgunam gunabhoktricha. The super soul is the original source of all senses, but he has no material senses. He's unattached, although he's the maintainer of all living entities. He's within everyone's heart, and at the same time, he's outside of everything. Bahiranantastribhutanam acharya charyam evacha sukshmatvat tadvigayam durastam chandrikeyatita. He's outside. Bahiranantastribhutanam. He's inside, he's outside. He's within the moving and non-living beings, although he's very subtle. He's sukshmatvat tadvigayam. He's beyond, because he's so subtle, he's beyond the material senses to see or to know. Sukshmatvat tadvigayam durastam chandrikeyatita. Although very far away, he's also very near to all. In other words, for the devotee who's in loving devotion to Krishna, who's anxious to know what Krishna wants, then Krishna is very close. He immediately talks to the devotee and tells him exactly what he wants. And for the devotee who's halfway wanting to please Krishna and halfway wants to get something from Krishna, then it's a little difficult to understand what Krishna wants. And for the non-devotee, who has no concern what Krishna wants, Krishna gives him absolutely zero intelligence what he wants. So, how close and how far away Krishna is depends upon what our desire is to please Krishna. If we want to please Krishna, then immediately Krishna is right there to tell us. And if we don't want to please Krishna, then he's so far away we can't even imagine where he is. We can go up, as we heard, as one astronaut went up into the sky and looked around and said, he's not there, I can't see God. Or as a better example, when Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Boar, Lord Varaha, then Hiranyakashipu became very angry. And he looked all over the universe to find God so he could kill him. So Lord Varaha, being very intelligent, immediately hid himself in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. Because he knew the last place in the universe Hiranyakashipu would look for God was within his heart. Therefore, Krishna found a safe hiding place in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. So for the materialist, he never thinks, he never uses intelligence, never looks in his heart to understand God, never asks God to explain himself. Because as soon as one thinks like that, we have many examples in the Krishna consciousness movement, that as soon as someone in the material world was smashed by the material energy, his girlfriend or his boyfriend left, he had no money, his parents kicked him out of the house, and he said, oh God, help me. And the next thing, there was some, you know, devotee on the street with a back to God head or a book approaching him. Here, I came to help you. Take one of these. And somehow or another, the person at that moment was a little receptive and took the book and read it, and everything was clear. Suddenly everything was clear. Or someone had bought a book before and read it, and then suddenly it made sense. The material world's miserable, and you know, there's only one, you have to find out how to get out of here from the person who knows. It all starts making sense. Beforehand, when one is trying to enjoy the material world, it made absolutely no sense at all. You held the book upside down or inside out, it all meant about the same thing. Nothing. So here, Mother Jasoda, she's so much absorbed in trying to love, to please Krishna. Krishna is constantly with her, 24 hours a day, giving her direction how to serve him. Although it may appear to us that Krishna becomes angry and he's going breaking some, you know, pots, trying to get the yogurt, trying to get even with his mother. Even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he go into temper tantrums. And he'd take a stick and knock over all the jars and the pots in Mother Satyamata's house, destroying all the ghee and all the yogurt and all the grains and everything. It'd just be a big mess. And he'd, you know, break down and cry. And Satyamata would come by and try and, you know, calm him down, and then he'd admit his fault, that he was, you know, somehow or another he'd lost control. And then the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come by and he'd give Mother Satyamata a little bit of gold. So Mother Satyamata was a little suspicious. Where did Nimai get this gold from? What is his gold connection? In any case, it appears that Krishna, he eternally has these emotional problems. And yet it's never recommended he goes to see a psychiatrist. And how long has this problem been going on? A long time. What about your mother? What was your relationship with your mother? Well, I don't know if it has anything to do with it. So, this is going on eternally, but in the spiritual world, these things are not seen as great impediments to devotional service. These are part of Krishna's eternal pastimes, and Krishna enjoys. As a matter of fact, if Krishna didn't get into this emotional state, the twin Arjun trees, Nakulavera and Manigriva, they'd still be standing there right now. We could go to Vrindavan and still see them. But Krishna has a plan. It's all part of his ever-flowing pastimes. And the devotees appreciate that even Krishna gets angry, it's not the same anger as we show. You know, Krishna is going to go and kick a cow now. He's so angry, so frustrated. No, it's all part of his pastimes too. It's all full of blissful pleasure. It's not that he's really angry with Mother Jasoda, that he's telling Mother Jasoda what to do. He's inspiring Mother Jasoda to take care of the milk first. So we have to appreciate that we can't take our material conceptions and try and apply them to spiritual pastimes. You know, so similarly, in our own daily experience, we have to, first of all, develop the attitude of service. As it says in the Nectar of Devotion, that the only qualification for spiritual advancement, the most important qualification, is sincerity. The sincere desire to please Krishna. So how that's manifested may be in different levels. At first, it may be manifested simply, or there are six stages of surrender, beginning with anukulasya sankalpe pratikulyasya varjana. So at first, our sincere desire to please Krishna is manifested in our sincere desire to accept everything possible to please what Krishna wants. We find out Krishna wants this, and then we do it. If we don't know something, then we have to learn. Sometimes the devotees are quite untrained. For instance, I was told that when the first devotees went in 1989, the first devotees from Russia went to the festival in India, some of the devotees noticed that their method of putting tilak was a little unusual. Because Russia, they didn't have very much training. For instance, if they wanted to put on tilak, they just spit into their hand and then take the tilak. It was convenient. It seemed to be practical, but they needed some training. So it wasn't that. So when they heard about that, then they changed. And they started to put on tilak a different way. Similarly, we may be shocked at hearing these things, but probably if a Brahmin, a real Brahmin, entered into one of our temples and watched our daily lives and devotional service, go, oh my God. These are devotees. It's like being in the jungle. Even Prabhupada once mentioned, because Prabhupada used to take prasadam by himself, he said something about, he didn't want to take prasadam with the devotees, something about they take prasadam like animals. In any case, the point is that although we may act, we may not know, but if we gain information, then our sincerity is that we start to follow what we learn. We may not know in the past, and then we have to be willing to give up attached to that Prabhupada was being told that false of the devotees in the temple. I forget what the specific sage was pointing out, some of the deficiencies of the devotees. And Prabhupada said, just give them to chant Hare Krishna. Just make sure they chant Hare Krishna, that's all. Something about, I can't remember what they were doing. So at the beginning, we encourage people, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, dance, you know, accept these things. And then later on, we mentioned there are four regular principles. The first we mentioned is three, no meat, fish, and eggs. And then we gradually reveal the other regular principles. Then the person thinks, well, now I'm really surrendered. Now I'm definitely going back to Godhead. But there's more, even after that. Although many devotees, they stop there. It's like they spend the rest of their lives, you know, overwhelmed by their surrender. But then it's practical yasya varjanam. Rakshasi titi vishvaso, to believe that Krishna will actually maintain one. So this is subtler. Not to be anxious at every moment, you know. Keep on opening the pot, make sure there's some prasadam left. I remember when my emotions were when we first had the Sunday feast, and we'd make so much prasadam, and then if too many guests would come, then immediately my heart would start, you know, feeling morose, thinking that now the quantity of prasadam I'm going to be able to get is diminishing with every person who comes. And I'd be praying, Krishna, please don't send anyone else. So, Rakshasi Titi Vishvaso Goptri Devaranam Tata. Krishna will protect and maintain one. So these are understandings and practical, and based upon these understandings, these practical manifestations of surrender that goes along with these things. And gradually, as one becomes more advanced in Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, as the more one becomes sincere about developing this mood and therefore the actions that go along with the mood, we can't say, I have the mood, but I don't do anything about it. Just like I can't say, I love my wife, but I can't do anything for her. My wife goes, my dear husband, can you please, you know, provide enough money for me? I can't. I can't move because I'm so overwhelmed with love for you. I'm stunned. Could you at least take out the garbage? No, I can't do that. There's too much love in my heart for you. I can't move. No, if there's actual love, then there has to be some activity that goes along with it. For every consciousness, there's an activity. Similarly, for every advancement in devotional service, every advancement of attitude, of loving attitude, more surrender, then there should be some practical more surrender. And the result is Padami Buddhya Ugam Tam. Krishna, the message of Krishna becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. One understands everything more clearly because before Krishna was going, beep, beep, please do this, and we're sitting there for half an hour speculating whether I want to do it or not. And then suddenly, you know, Krishna's there talking to you. You know, can you do this? Just like the examples are Shakshi Gopal. That the Brahmin, he saw Gopal as being Gopal. He wasn't thinking that this is a statue. He was able to talk directly with the deity. Because his service attitude was such that the deity directly talked to him. Similarly, the deity is in our heart. It's not that he's not there. But how much we're able to hear him, that depends upon us. Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that the whole world is dancing with Krishna, but those who are trying to imitate Krishna, they're dancing with Krishna's energy, Maya. And those who are dancing trying to please Krishna, they're dancing Krishna's rasa dance. That the whole world is full of Krishna singing, but everyone, according to the amount of the Maya that they're in, they're understanding in different ways. But a devotee, he hears Krishna's flute, he hears Krishna's voice, he hears his ankle bells, he hears his words everywhere. So that's called Krishna consciousness. He only hears Krishna, and he hears Krishna in his heart. Of course, he understands the difference between Maya and Krishna too. Just like Haridas Thakur, when he was brought before the magistrate told Haridas Thakur, you know, now you're in trouble, you're a Mohammedan, but somehow or another you're worshipping this Krishna, chanting the name of Krishna. So Haridas Thakur realized that this man's crazy. He's just, you know, influenced by the material energy, therefore he didn't take him seriously. So a devotee, he understands how Krishna talks to his devotee and how he talks through his material energy. But he sees Krishna either directly or indirectly, but all he sees is Krishna. So that's called Krishna consciousness. All he hears is Krishna, and therefore all he sees is Krishna. So, thank you. Are there any questions? Comments? Yes.
One time somebody asked me, before I asked Prabhupada, how he knows what Krishna wants, and Prabhupada said Krishna tells him. And then on the other side, you hear that when Prabhupada came over on the Jala Vidya, that Krishna appeared to him. So does that mean that Krishna appeared to Prabhupada in different ways?
Why not? Yeah, of course, in so many ways. Anything else? I mean, I can't really start saying how Krishna's appearing to Prabhupada. You'd have to ask Prabhupada. What's that?
Does he also manifest himself as an animal?
Krishna. Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, just a regular animal. The head of an animal. What about the tail? No, that type of thing is, you know, suddenly Krishna, that's open to mental speculation. When Krishna, we can understand if Krishna is appearing to us if it's confirmed by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So if the message is that of the same as Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then we can accept it. Otherwise, it may be in the realm of speculation. You know, the mouse in the room turned to the left, and therefore Krishna is telling me this. He's like, that may not work out. Yeah, right there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we see it every day. Yeah. It's not good to... If you become opposed to Krishna, you get a big stomach ache. If you want to avoid major stomach problems, then you have to surrender to Krishna. It's a very long story about Prahlad Maharaj and his father Hiranyakashipu. So the story goes, but more or less his father was a demon. Hiranyakashipu in the age of Satyayuga, where people lived for a long time, and he performed great austerities for a long time. So he got benedictions from Lord Brahma so that he didn't have to die. But Lord Brahma couldn't give him the benediction directly, so he prayed for it in many different ways. He wouldn't be killed by man or a beast, etc., during night or day. But he was a demon, so he, and his son Prahlad was a devotee, so he always tried to torture Prahlad, trying to convert, trying to have him deprogrammed. But Prahlad wouldn't give it, he wouldn't budge. So one day Hiranyakashipu was going to kill him to get a sword, and Prahlad, he asked Prahlad, where the source of all your power is. So Krishna advented himself in the form of half man, half lion, so that he would preserve the benediction of his devotee, Lord Brahma, but at the same time he would be able to kill Hiranyakashipu. So he wasn't a man or a beast, he was a half man, half beast. He didn't kill him during the day or night, he killed him in twilight. He didn't kill him on the land or in the sky, he killed him on his lap. So in this way he preserved all the benedictions, but he killed Hiranyakashipu anyhow. So that's what it means. Thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.